Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I remember reading this book toward the end of high school, and it was called, kind of a catchy title, Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? 12 False Christs. And it was by a pastor, Matthew Richard. He's a fella in our synod. He was kind of popular at the time, and I remember watching some stuff from him back in the day. And he's still a pretty well-educated guy. And the whole point of this book was to look at our culture and what misconceptions or maybe what false expectations we have of Jesus. And so I remember reading it, and not that I was like, oh, wow, I've been worshiping the wrong Jesus my whole life, but it made me think of what my expectations should be. What should I expect from when I go to church? What should I get when I hear the word of God? What should be going through my mind about Jesus, and what are truly his words for me? And what things has he proclaimed to all the nations? And I think that's really where our gospel text is shining forth, is that the people of Nazareth had some expectations of Jesus. And they didn't quite have them right, though. And we know that their beliefs were challenged as soon as they saw Jesus face to face, and their expectations were kind of shattered, so much so that they reject him, and even so much they want to push him off a cliff there in town. Pretty nasty stuff. But ultimately, when their expectations weren't met, it broke their faith, and they rejected him. And then some of them returned to him. We know James eventually does turn to faith, at least the one related to Jesus. And so the people of Nazareth, though, at first found everything that he had to say very captivating. They're sitting there on the edge of their seats. It'd be like if all of you were just right on the edge waiting for every single word I said. You can almost imagine that it's like somebody sitting over a feast of food, and their mouth is like watering, and they're waiting for everything to come out. And that's what they're doing. They're waiting on every single word that Jesus had to say to them. And they're very intently looking at him. Their eyes are fixed right on what he has to say. And they're just waiting for everything to come next. And I mean, just imagine sitting there. They've heard the whole Old Testament their whole life. They heard the prophets. And then all of a sudden, after he finishes this reading from Isaiah, he says, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Boy, that's like everything you've been waiting for. Like, he's now finally here. The guy you've been waiting for is standing right before you, and all that stuff is now fulfilled, and the Old Testament has now come true, and God has finally sent someone to fix all your problems. And not only that, but in this reading of Scripture, what does Jesus say? He told them that they will receive liberty from their captivity. And so they're sitting there and going, oh boy, the Romans are going to get it. But their expectations were quickly crushed and somewhat misguided. And they might have been also expecting something more immediate, because they're talking about Jesus brought up Capernaum himself. He's saying, oh, physician, heal yourself. You guys are probably expecting what I did in Capernaum. And what did he do in Capernaum? Well, he preached and he taught. And he also was performing miracles. And so why wouldn't he come and do that in his hometown? And this is a big theme that Luke sets up in his gospel, is that Jesus is this preacher and miracle worker. So, of course, he's going to come to his hometown and give us those miracles. So they're waiting, and they sat patiently waiting on his every word, and now he's going to set them free. Their captivity is over. Somebody's sickness might be healed, or the lame person might be able to walk again. But then he doesn't really go there. And their expectations get shattered. And he breaks the news to him by saying, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. And he goes on to say, not only that, but I'm not actually here just for you guys. I'm going to be like Elijah and Elisha and go out to Zarephath, Sidon, of people that don't believe in your God, and I'm going to go to Syria and proclaim the word of God to them too. And so this gets them pretty riled up, because they wanted Jesus for them. And this news destroyed their expectation of what the Messiah was, because now he's not coming to destroy the Romans, but he's going to go out to people that haven't been waiting for him. And that makes them question what's going on, to the point that this is just a guy being controversial. He can't be the Christ. And I think our expectations of Jesus can sometimes be skewed. And we recognize that our Lord came to die for all of our sins, and for that this death was for the whole world, not just for us sitting here. But sometimes proclaiming that truth outward is sometimes tough. The people of Nazareth seemed to love everything Jesus had to say, but as soon as he said, you know, I didn't come just for you, they get frustrated. And you can imagine what's going through their mind. How could Jesus really have been the Christ if he's going to go to people that don't follow our traditions, our morality, or most especially, aren't even people of our own religion? How is he going to go to those people and not me? And I'm not saying that we don't desire to spread that word to other people, but just practically speaking, it can become kind of hard. It's tough to figure out how to do that and where to do it and what's the right way. There's so many things to try and figure out. And some of it might mean changing our expectations of how the church functions here in our personal tradition. And I'm not meaning changing our ethics or our morality or our teachings, but it might sometimes challenge us to think, is the way that's happening wrong? I don't know. And so you guys are even experiencing this right now through this vacancy that, you know, you get a new guy every weekend or at least every other weekend, and you're kind of going through this, and I'm sure you've experienced it before during other vacancies. There's sometimes new things that happen, and it's new to us, but it doesn't necessarily make it wrong, because at the end of the day, the Holy Spirit is at work so long as the gospel is being proclaimed faithfully and purely, and that is our hope. And that liberating death is proclaimed for everybody. And now that word liberty is very important, and this is where the people of Nazareth's misconception comes from, because they take this to mean something they're going to get right here and now. But that word in Greek is also the same word that we use for release, but most especially it's the word that we use for forgiveness. So what we really could say that what Jesus read to them said to proclaim forgiveness to the captives. And you see, that's what they might have been missing, is that they heard this word liberty, or they heard this understanding of the word, and they're now saying, boy, Jesus is going to get rid of the Romans for us, and that's exciting because I'm tired of that. And so they took it very literally, whether it was the Romans or they were wanting those miracles right then. But we, as Christians, know there's a little bit more to it, that this liberty, this release, this forgiveness is something more than being freed from our infirmities or being freed from an occupation of some people. And of course, these miracles are important and they point forward to this, but there's a bit more going on, that Jesus came to release a world of sin. And that's what these miracles point to, is that all of these things that he has to go about and heal and change and perform the miracles for, he's pointing to the fact that this is a result of the sinful world we live in, and I'm going to release you from that. But he's going to do it even far greater. And so this is why he had to say, I'm going to be like Elijah and Elisha. Because this release, this liberty from captivity, isn't just for the Jewish people. He's now broadening this to the whole world. And Elijah and Elisha went to these people that were not of their faith to proclaim this same truth to them. They were proclaiming the true God of Israel to everybody, so that they might too have this forgiveness. And now, of course, Nazareth didn't like this because it challenged their expectations. And really what they wanted was they were the Lord's faithful, not those people that Jesus was going to, the Samaritans and whoever else. So they wanted Jesus for them and them alone. I think we might have a similar problem today, and I don't mean that we're openly hostile to people that are not Christian, but I do think that the people in Nazareth show us something about what we can be like. And it's no secret that we live in a world that is becoming increasingly less Christian, if not just outright hostile toward Christianity. And if we set our expectations as the proclamation of the gospel is something that goes along the lines of, well, you know, I've heard the gospel and I trust in Jesus, but those people out there, it's on them, they made their decision, that's it, it's done. I think we've missed what Jesus himself actually did. Jesus went out to those who were lost, who didn't even know the God of the Old Testament. And so I think likewise, that same mentality that the people in Nazareth had, it made this them versus us mentality. And we don't want to do that ourselves either. Because the thing about the people out in the world is they're actually not our enemies. It's Satan. Satan is our enemy. And our job is then to proclaim to the captives, those who have been captive by Satan himself and the temptations of this world, to share that love with them. And don't get me wrong, we're not going to stand here and change ourselves and change our teachings and change our morality to be all-inclusive. But maybe there's a different way that we approach them. I don't know. It's a very different world than what it used to be. And these people aren't Christian, and they haven't been in church sometimes their whole lives. People my age haven't even stepped foot. So how do you approach them? That's the question. But either way, the mission to them is to proclaim that they are released from their sin. And that might mean first telling them they're sinners. But either way, we proclaim to them that they are released in Jesus Christ. And that the clutches of the enemy, Satan, will not hold them. And of course, we could sit and lament how quickly our world has turned away from Jesus. I mean, it hasn't happened all that long ago. Even if you go, before me, but still, if you go back 50, 60 years ago, the culture was very different. But we can sit and lament how quickly that was lost, or we can recognize that we live in a time where the Spirit of the Lord has put hard work before us and wants us to do that work, and wants us to love those who haven't received Jesus ever. And the Father wants to draw them to himself, as Jesus says throughout John. And so I think the first thing is getting rid of that us versus them mentality. And of course, it's frustrating looking at how quickly the world has went to chaos. But recognize that they're your fellow man that are being tempted by Satan, and that we too are also tempted. And even Jesus himself was tempted yet remained perfect and did not fall to that. So at the very least, we can recognize that our Lord has done the same thing, and he still showed that love to them and recognized that it wasn't them that was his enemy, but it was that old foe from the garden that needed to be crushed, and crushed at the cross. And so it comes down to expectations again. The Jews had made that us versus them reality. They had been told that the Gentiles and those who weren't Jewish were unclean, so don't go talk to them. And that's what really riled them up about Jesus was, those are unclean people. Why would you dare go talk to them instead of us? And yet, he still went. And so instead of this bitterness toward the world, we can have recognize what a great blessing it is to live in the time that we are. We can lament the past, but we can recognize that the time that we're in is a great time to serve the Lord and his church and go out and proclaim that truth to others. And of course, it's easier to not engage. I mean, it'd be easier to sit inside the walls and recognize that our expectations are coming to church and loving Jesus because we have that promise already. But if it's such a great promise that exceeds our expectations because that promise is something far greater than now, then it goes outside the walls. And we do that. And so Jesus came to forgive all who are captives of sin. He came to release those who are oppressed by Satan. And this hold is over all of creation, but that's what he showed in his miracles, that he was releasing creation from sin. And I have said it so many times that you folks here love this community and you go out and serve it. So by no means am I saying Zion has been bad. No, you guys are great at loving the community and sharing that love, whether it was Christmas in Ridgeville, the tree lighting, the food pantry, all the many things that we do here are great, and it's serving our community and it's sharing that love, whether it's getting to them or not, we can't control. It's the Spirit's job. He works through us, and we do it. And thankfully, we don't have to worry about what happens because it's all in the Lord's work to do it. He didn't come just to offer this message of a select people, a select group like those people in Nazareth thought, but he came to proclaim to Syria and to Zarephath and to all the nations. He came to proclaim repentance to all people. And that's what Nazareth missed. And what they missed most especially was that what is even far greater than Jesus' miracles was his proclamation of the Word of God. Because his miracles fixed their stuff right then and there. But what he offered them was something far greater than miracles, something that should have exceeded their expectations and gave them something eternally. And so this proclamation of forgiveness to sinners and release to those broken by the world was the purpose. And so those miracles are a foretaste of what we are offered eternally in the proclamation of Jesus' word. It's a foretaste of the resurrection because those infirmities that they had this side of heaven will be fixed forever. And that is a great blessing. And those miracles offered release in the present, but Jesus' words offer release for eternity, forgiveness, eternal forgiveness. So really what Jesus lavished upon the world far exceeds all expectations, at least of what they had. And I think that's the same for us. Like I was saying, what we hear here might actually far exceed our expectations, because sometimes we think of it, oh, it's here right now, but everybody out there, they don't get it. But the word of God exceeds our expectations because it is greater than this building and it goes out, even when we don't realize it. It is going out, and that is a great blessing, even in this age of chaos. Sometimes it might not feel that way, and sometimes you might forget it, but it is still the proclamation of the word of God that will help this generation. But either way, the Lord desires to use this church and all of his faithful churches to proclaim this blessing to the captives of sin. And our current culture doesn't get Jesus. We know that. And it bothers us, and we should be bothered by it. And because of this, there are many expectations of Jesus outside of the church. And maybe they're not even Christian at all, but they have expectations of what they think Christianity will be, whether that's this strict moral code or something. But they don't get Jesus. And so our job is to proclaim the gospel so they do and understand that. And at the very least, our current culture shows us all the more reason why we proclaim the cross and Christ, because that will deliver them from all of this craziness around them. The world around us might not get God, but we do, and we can boldly proclaim it. And so they too will rise as Christ rose. And Christ liberated us from death itself. And that is why he exceeds all of our expectations. In the name of Jesus, amen.